Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast that escaped an onslaught of new Nintendo Switch releases and lives to tell our tales. On this episode, the panel will take a look back at the past couple months on Switch and discuss some of the RPGs that may have flown under the radar. On the panel tonight, man who required CPR after he was pulled out of the sea of RPGs by the lifeguard, NWR Reviews editor, Jordan Rudick.
But his dad may never die. Is that what the Greyjoys say when they're drowned and then they come back to life or something like that?
Yep.
And sorry for not being topical, David, but that's the best I could do.
Yeah.
Certainly a sea of RPGs, and one I'm happy to be drowning in. Frankly, it's a good time, man. It's a good time.
You know, honestly, what would be cooler than Elden Ring? Just like give me the Westeros RPG.
There is a a Game of Thrones game. Neil, have you played it?
I mean, like a video game.
Yes.
Does he want to?
No.
Is it?
I think it's a generic action adventure type game.
Okay. There is a board game. It's based off the books that I've played a couple times, and it is some of the most delirious backstabbing insanity that I've ever played. Because it is like everybody plays a house, and it basically does a good job of reenacting the show, and that like different characters have different strengths, and the way that they're placed on the map kind of make the natural adversaries. Mm-hmm. And then it's a lot of like some people will, you know, like because I mean, for example, like the Starks have basically all of the North, so they have a lot of ground to start, and then there's other houses that are just like sandwiched in between bigger ones, and it just becomes a really insane time where you're just basically screwing each other over as one person tries to sit on the throne.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Neil, because I'm very familiar with that game, having played about probably 20 or 30 rounds of it. I'll tell you a good little anecdote before we move on here. We played that game so much that we found a homemade board or a fan-made board that increased the number of players from 7 to 9. And so we went to Kinko's and we had them print out this 9-man board. We laid it over like this huge table and we played a 9-man game of the Game of Thrones board game.
Nerd!
Thank you. I hope you add the actual drop for that. Okay, we need the legitimate one of Homer saying it. What are the houses? I think they added just some of the smaller houses, like ones that would be part of like a larger house. They just gave them their own.
I was gonna say the Martells. I don't think
Martells did have one. Yeah. But, yeah. Maybe like
it's been like 2 years since I've played the game.
Like for example, maybe Sam's family, the Tarleys, might have had a house or something like that.
Yeah.
The Boltons, I think, might have had their own house in this nine man version. But yeah, they added a bunch of different houses, and so we played this 9-man version. I think we only played it like 2 or 3 times because it was just unruly to have this many players and waiting for each turn to finish. I mean, the normal game itself, like, It probably takes about 3 to 4 hours to finish. And yeah, the backstabbing is brutal. We had people walk out of games just like giving up, throwing their pieces away, like just completely bailing on the game. Like friendships were honestly damaged from this game, and it took a long time for us to recover.
I think one of the early games, before we had gotten that cruel about it, I think it was like we were ordering a pizza, and it was me and another person were going to walk to go pick it up. And before I left, it was like the game is paused.
Yes.
The game's never paused in Game of Thrones.
And yeah, and then with that, I came back and found out, no, the game was never paused. And I'm I basically was like, I'm going to take the pizza and leave now.
Yeah.
You were the real winner in that situation, Neil. You had the pizza.
that is the Game of Thrones. You eat the pizza or you die, right? I don't know. He won
the game of attrition.
That's right.
Anyway, because I think it actually, despite the fact that introductions have been completely destroyed, I feel like board game RPGs can kind of fit into this as well. I got Star Wars Outer Rim a couple weeks ago. I've only played it once, but it's just a game where it's like a sandbox board game where everybody plays a relatively famous Star Wars bounty hunter and you go, you fly around in space and pick up bounties, sometimes involving fights, sometimes involving smuggling. You can build up crews with a bunch of characters from the Star Wars universe. I really liked it. It does seem like it might not have a lot of longevity, because it doesn't seem like it's that, there's that many, that there's that deep of a possibilities of like cards and characters and stuff. But it seems like it's also, you could do an expansion really easily, like maybe putting a Mandalorian in it. That's not Boba Fett. That's the start of a TV show.
So I think next Mage episode, Dave is going to be pulling me out of a sea of board game RPGs.
Yes. Right.
There are a lot of good ones.
Well, we better finish up the introduction. So also joining us on the talk from the Talk Nintendo podcast, man who has just given the Mage its latest soundbite that will probably be used for episodes to come.
I mean, it's probably applicable in literally every episode. Is probably
yeah, applicable. That got real nerdy, though. When you go down to Kinko's, you know, that's, you know, that's across the line there. But I love it.
I mean, it was a worthy call out. I'm just saying, like, you wouldn't have to really stretch to drop that beat in an RPG podcast.
Yeah.
Going to Kinko's to print out a board game is, yeah, that is probably one of the worst things we've ever done or mentioned.
No, on. No, the worst thing is if you tell us you got it laminated.
I don't think we went.
I was waiting for the, like, of course,
yeah, like, I did. Would there be any other way? I didn't spend $50 to print out that thing for it to get sewed on it.
It was so big. Yeah, so to get it laminated would be completely unruly. I don't know where you would store it. You wouldn't be able to put it anywhere. So
that's amazing. It's
like we needed to protect the board from the drinks that we were throwing at each other.
It's like the size of a large area rug. So it would have to be your new
rug. The original board game, that was a huge board to begin
exactly,
with.
Exactly, yeah. This is like two or three times the size.
Yeah.
Well, if nothing else comes out of this podcast, at least we got that.
We got the soundbite. That's the important
thing. Or if Casey drops out. Oh, no, I was going to say, if you drop out from this point forward, anytime you're supposed to speak, we'll just throw that on.
Insert nerd.
Nerd.
And lastly, Nintendo World Report owner and man developing Arms of Steel one squeeze at a time, Neil Ranahan.
I like that you assume that I kept up playing Ring Fit longer than like a week and a half.
The truth is, he's only doing the leg exercises. But
yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Huge quadriceps.
He's like the opposite. He never skips leg day.
That's right.
I do love with Ring Fit how there is like a thing of that, like, don't worry about getting too muscular.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
That's like the Wii Fit trainer telling you to take it easy. Make sure to take breaks in between the intense sessions of stepping onto that balance board.
I think the only person in danger of getting too ripped from playing Ring Fit is probably Xander, because he's already halfway there. So.
No.
Opposite. I'm talking about exercise.
He's just watching Xander's streams, admiring his big muscles.
I think, Casey, you should go into the streams and just start screaming nerd in the chat.
Yeah. Just be like, hey, Xander, can I call in? I'll, like, talk to you.
That's right.
Just the whole time.
Well, Jordan, do you want to kick off the the drink discussion? Do you have some kind of protein smoothie?
Appropriately named beer discussion? No protein smoothie this evening. Just a standard Dr. Pepper, nothing fancy. Since I've been not drinking coffee anymore, I know I've said before I'm trying to cut out soft drinks, and I am, but I find that on a day when I've got a lot of stuff going on, or if we're doing a podcast or I'm up late or whatever, it's nice to have soda. It pains me to say soda, you Americans, but I'll do it.
Pop.
No one here does it in this country. No one.
I had a can of pop.
Yeah, can of pop. That's right. Does anyone say soda pop? That's gone, right? No. That was like an outsider's book kind of thing.
I feel like maybe you're a time traveler
from the 1940s.
Soda pop.
Yeah, that or if you're like a 4-year-old child, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the accent was, but my grandma, My dad's mom would always say it like it sounded like soda.
Maybe that's a
Long Island thing.
Soda.
Yeah, but like she would always call it soda, and like I hear my dad like kind of like I feel like as he gets older,
yeah,
he's just gonna start. He's gonna continue to add an R at the end of soda.
my grandfather, he's passed away, but he was Scottish. He would add R's to the end of things, to the end of words as well. Like, not just I can't think of any off the top of my mind, but I remember
Nerder.
that sound happening. Yeah, that was probably one of them, Casey, when he would actually say that to me. But yeah, I don't know, just a funny thing. But yeah, no, just a standard Dr. Pepper. I was gonna ask you guys something related to that. If you could think of any like knockoff brand Dr. Peppers that you have an interesting name or something, that what's the one of first or second ones that comes to mind when you think of not Dr. Pepper brand, like the original, but like a store brand Dr. Pepper. Do you have any good ones in mind?
I think
I know
our compliments
in college, it wasn't Dr. Pepper, but we were Sam Club soda guys.
Okay. Because
it was dirt cheap and it actually tasted pretty darn good. But
did
yeah,
they call it something? Like what was the name of it?
I think it was just like Sam's Club Cola.
Okay, so they, but what did they have? Like a Dr. Pepper version of that? Though is what I'm asking.
Let's see. I bet you. Let's see. Sam's Club Dr. Pepper. They have to.
Like some of the ones that are available in stores around me, was Dr. Skipper. That was at one of the supermarkets. Dr. Thunder was another one that I've had in my house at some point. But then what would happen is we'd see these funny names and we'd go online and look at like all the crazy knockoff versions, and some of them are just ridiculous. Dr. Nut is one. Dr. Doctor is another. it's just such stupid names. But
I mean, there's like Mr. Pibb.
Which one?
Like Mr. Pibb is a little more like nationwide.
Oh yeah, that's almost on the same level as Dr. Pepper, I would say. Just yeah. That's
And what came to mind for me was Dr. Brown's, which I'm looking it up, and
I've heard of that one.
It's basically a Jewish kosher soda, which I didn't know that's what the story behind Dr. Brown's is, and it's primarily in New York City and South Florida.
But is it a Dr. Pepper, or is there just a different soda?
It's apparently they do have a Dr. Pepper, like they have a celery flavored. So what the
crap?
That's
disgusting.
No thanks.
But that was what came to mind just because of the doctor name. But that's more, it's a kosher soda than it is a Dr. Pepper knockoff. That's what popped into my mind. I'm trying to think. There is totally like an Aldi Dr. Pepper, but I don't know what the name of it is.
What about you, David? Anything around you that you can remember are the names of the Dr. Peppers?
He's got trees. And that's
I got some the closest thing I have is maple syrup flavored
Dr. David's maple syrup drink.
The natural,
oh my God,
naturally flavored pop.
The Aldi Dr. Pepper is called Dr. Dazzle.
That's great. That's a really good one. I'm gonna add that to the list.
Their Mountain Dew is Mountain Frost.
And you could call that one Dr. D's, you know what I mean, if you want to just cut it down short too.
There might already be a Dr. D's case, nuts. So I don't know if we can even do that. Dr. Dazzle's really
That might be inappropriate.
I actually, so I don't think Dr. Dazzle is like always there, because I have like, I mean, there's an Aldi down the road for me that I go to a lot, and they do have like their it's like whatever their RC Cola name is. I think they have a root beer that's like Suds. I've seen Mountain Frost.
I am seeing Mr. D's soda, Mr. D's Cola.
Okay,
it looks real ghetto though.
So this is your homework, all three of you, for a future episode, if we're on together. Please look in your stores, find out what the store brand is for their Dr. Pepper, whatever their knockoff version is called, and bring me back your good takes there, your good examples. I always like to. I'm always interested in that kind of silly thing.
So I'm trying to find out more about Dr. Dazzle.
We said Dr. Thunder, right?
Dr. Thunder, yeah, that's one. I've seen that local to me, actually.
That's great value. So
that's Walmart, yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
I think that's in a lot of them.
Yeah,
very common. So I'm
Mountain Lightning.
Next episode, so I might literally go to like Aldi tomorrow to see if they have Dr. Dazzle.
Yes,
and I will report back. I'm on next week's episode too. So I will get Dr. Dazzle. Apparently, it tastes very similar to Dr. Pepper. It seems like it's one of the better off brands for it.
Oh,
so
interesting. Okay.
Now I'm curious. Like academically, I'm gonna have to buy some cans of this.
Now this is the part where we cut to, if we could just visualize it for a second. Steam is coming out of David's ears as we've hijacked beer discussion into Dr. Pepper discussion, and we're continuing it into the next episode as well. I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry.
the picture that you should be thinking in your mind is me just chugging a beer until it ends.
And David's hammered.
Four I'm beers down. One of the one of, you're like a Cuphead boss right now, like one of the devil characters or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got halfway through the boss now. Let's see if we can make it through, guys.
And the alcohol that I'm pounding down right now is an English brown from Brasseurs du Monde. Apparently, I made a poor choice in only picking a 5.9 because now I'm thinking I should have picked something closer to 12.
He should have picked vodka.
You know what, man? Hodgepodge episode. What did you expect?
True hodgepodge.
I'm drinking a new I think it's a new Belgium beer called Peach Kick. It's totally fine. It's only 4.3%. I just wanted something light to kind of have on hand. And I didn't feel like cracking into any of my new Glarus beer that I smuggled out from Green Bay. That's going to wait until Sunday night's Packers Niners game, which hopefully I won't be thinking about this episode next week and being like, oh, it was terrible.
Is that in Green Bay, Neil, or in San Francisco?
It's in San Fran this year. Anyway, I'm drinking Peach Kick. Let's talk our peaches.
Okay, so the listeners at home are probably thinking they've attempted to talk about everything except the games that are on the list.
Well, I guess so is real quick is, to is say this mine.
An indication of what's to come, but there are a few things, and also the listeners at home should also consider that if there was a rough cut that you just heard a few seconds ago, it's because the Canadian has cut out all of the football talk to spare you.
Well, here you go. To move this along, what I've been drinking is I got some H2O, but if I was a drinking man, I'd have a Barn Rocker Ale out of Oyster Bay Brewery because the Islanders are kicking some keisters and they're rocking that barn, baby. It is actually like an Islander beer. Oyster Bay is on Long Island, so they've got the Barn Rocker. It's nice and orange and blue can. 4.6. I've had a couple. They're pretty good. Just like the Islanders who are pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping the Isles do well. They're the probably the local team that I like the most.
Unlike the
yeah, there's okay. So here's the second cut of the night.
You were looking for an episode title. You've got one: Dr. Pepper Football and Hockey. Like that's yeah. What we're talking about today.
And no RPGs.
No Dr. Dazzle.
Yeah, Dr. Dazzle.
I think. Dazzle. I hope that I can name my character. I hope I can name my character in Saga Scarlet Grace, because then I'm just going to name one of them Dr.
Well, we better get into the games before we completely lose everyone.
Yeah, the Islanders play Pittsburgh tomorrow. It's going to be a good one.
So, the first game on our list.
David, we've already lost everybody, so we've probably lost you now, too, so it's just me, Casey, and Neil.
This is for us,
who
guys.
Who got Ring Fit Adventure?
If anyone remembers that there was in that 20-minute intro, there was a mention of Ring Fit Adventure.
Yeah, so, Jordan, you and I, yes. are we the only two Ring Fitters?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and we also kind of got filled by the same thing, and that, like, we got it, and then each got bad colds, yeah. That like it really knocked me out of commission for like a week.
Karma.
They don't get Ring Fit, you'll get sick.
Did
you say karma because we started talking about Dr. Pepper?
I did, however.
It's karma because you were attempting to be healthy, and that's what you get.
Yes. Well, so here's my Ring Fit adventure, my Ring Fit adventure, if you will. It came out while I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin to go see the Packers beat the Raiders back in October. We stopped at a Target the night it came out, and I bought Ring Fit Adventure and then brought it back to the hotel room where I promptly set up my Switch that I could very easily, thanks to the power and the magic of the dock, and then got my two siblings to play Ring Fit Adventure while we drank.
I was going to say, you had to be pretty drunk, I imagine.
Honestly, don't recommend it. If you want some laughs, great time. Like, we didn't crack into the story mode. We did a lot of, like, the... Like, we'd, like, each alternate doing one of the, like, the sets they have. Like, the quick play stuff. But, like, it was hilarious. It was really fun. And then when I got back from Green Bay, I actually, you know, did the Ring Fit adventure for a week and a half. And I was just impressed by how it built up as an RPG, but while also still being a fitness game where you would, like, get new, get new moves and abilities, and they would be represented by like, oh, now you're doing planks. And then how those would all power up, and you'd kind of have to worry about weaknesses and type advantages. It's just a lot of really smart things that honestly, like, gamified exercising in a way that I haven't really seen done in a video game before.
I guess the important question now is, did the vomit fix the drift on your Joy-Con?
David, we all know Joy-Con drift is just a myth. That ain't actually happened to anybody, so...
Yeah.
Fake news.
Fake news, yeah. I...
No, I lost my Growlithe. No, was it? No, the Carcoil. My Carcoil was about to learn Incinerate, and the frickin' drift on my Joy-Con moved it to forget the move, and so I missed out on one...
So you do realize, like, literally in every Pokemon Center, there's a guy that you can go talk to and will remember any move.
Yeah, that's not work.
If anything, I purposely forget moves now just so I don't have to make that decision. Like, so if I learn a new move, I just forget it. And I'm like, oh, I'll go and check it later. Like, I don't want to decide right now.
My Carcoil still has Tackle, so.
Anyways, back to Ring Fit. I don't know how we got to
Pokemon. Now who's again, ruining things?
Yeah. Yeah, Ring Fit's really interesting because I think it actually, in terms of being a fitness tool, I think it actually is very, very helpful. And if you stick with it, and I've seen a lot of testimonies on Twitter, especially of people who have been doing it since launch and have lost weight, right? Whether that stays off or not, I don't know. Like, it could be a combination of things, and people might exaggerate numbers and stuff. But I don't think that we're talking about a device that is like the Wii Fit, right? Where I think Wii Fit as a weight loss tool probably wasn't really there. It was more of kind of a fun way to have a little bit more exercise in your life and to kind of be monitoring your weight. And it used BMI, which I obviously we don't really put too much stock into BMI. God. But
my mate would always be like 40 million pounds overweight just because of the way my body is and how BMI hates
it. Yeah, exactly. Like, but with Ring Fit, like, I think you are doing an exercise. We've seen all these people in their reviews and anecdotes and stuff like that. You're sweating bullets when you're doing these activities. Just even 20 minutes with Ring Fit is an incredible workout, I think. Like, there's no, if you are sweating so profusely and feeling like sore afterwards, you're obviously getting a good workout. I don't know about, I guess I hesitate to talk too much about whether, you know, over the long term, it's something that could replace traditional exercise and going to the gym and lifting weights and stuff like that. But I think it's something that you do kind of on the side or as part, just kind of as one of the gaming activity for you. I think it has to be something that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if full replacement, like you said, like, I don't, that's not something that I feel educated to stand on, but I did have, like, so I mean, I guess getting a little inward here, more just because of how life has been for me, it's been hard to consistently go to the gym. I basically have, like, good stretches, like, every year or so, where it's like, oh, I'll go, like, you know, a couple times a week for a month and a half, 2 months. One of the most successful periods of that, I think it wound up being about, like, 3 months of kind of regular gym going experiences. That was when I did a lot of high intensity interval training, which that's part of what attracts me to Ring Fit, because I feel like I can kind of do like 20 minutes of exercise and feel like I did some things. And I don't necessarily have the time and the capacity, especially with a toddler, and currently a long commute to my day job. And then, you know, doing this stuff at night, I can't go to the gym right now because we got to talk RPGs. But like, because of that, like, it's hard to be like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym for an hour. You know, it's going to take a couple minutes. It's going to take, you know, 5-10 minutes to drive there from my house. I'm going to have to take a shower right after. So like, that's a, you know, then you're starting to get into like, okay, this is a minimum hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's hard to fit in, but, like, I need to get back on the horse, which for one reason or another, like, you know, sickness, wife being on vacation. So I was single dadding for a little while. What's great about it is that you can just, you know, sit down for a half an hour, do some stuff, and it's productive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's, you know, if I want to be the most optimally athletic, healthy person I could be, that's not going to cut it. But it's something that I can very easily do in my house, and it is gamified in a way that drives me to play it more than just like picking up a pair of dumbbells. It really does kind of feel a lot like the interval training stuff that I've done before.
It could be like a spark plug too, just, for people who, you know, you start to do this and then it makes you want to go to the gym, you know, and do more things as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, Casey. I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, if you're someone who maybe you're not happy with, you know, your fitness level or your body type or anything like that right now, and you feel like you've lapsed, or you just want to get started on something, I think Ring Fit might be a very good kind of gateway to doing more intense exercise, or to start going to the gym, or being more active on a daily basis or weekly basis. Like, it's tailored such that you can do as much or as little as you want, right? You can adjust the level, I think, to quite an interesting degree. I think you can make it very intense or very light, depending on where you're starting off with. And it's, yeah, again, it seems like the Ring Fit is something that anyone could pick up and get something out of, regardless of where you are, right? And yeah, I don't know. I really
appreciate
that about it.
There's so much flexibility with it. I mean, you brought up the difficulty, and that's something that's really great too, because you can challenge yourself and, that is too hard. You can very easily bring it back down. Like, in the way that they do that, like, they do, like, okay, you want something intense, like, you know, what's your activity type? How old are you? You know, like, what, I think it might ask your weight. I forget.
I think it does.
But it does do those things, so that way it's not just going to be a stock, like, this is going to be an intense workout. It's taking into account factors of your body and your life. Mm-hmm. And then basing an intense workout, or, you know, approximating one, because it's still, you know, it's not going to be absolutely flawless, but it's you know, more customized than just a simple, like, there are four difficulty options, have fun.
Yeah,
I really need to get back onto it. I'm impressed by the technology, impressed by the game.
I like the fact that you compared it to a HIIT type workout, Neil, because I think that's what it is. Like, I don't know that when I go to the gym, 20 minutes of cardio or, you know, 20 minutes of lifting weights, I don't know if I've ever been as sweaty as the times I did Ring Fit. I feel like you are in those battles that you're trying to do things quickly, right? Like, you are putting in a lot of effort in a short period of time, even the just running through the stages. Like, I don't know, I guess for me, I'm trying to go pretty fast. Like, I want to maintain that that momentum, or when your hair catches fire and you're running at the optimal pace, like, I want to do everything pretty hard. And so you can go pretty hard with Ring Fit, and I don't know, maybe it is a really good workout. It felt like one.
Yeah, like, I hope that this conversation will, like, you know, encourage me tomorrow to get back on the horse with it.
Yeah, I'm hoping,
because I think for me, it's just getting into that routine, and I hope I'll be able to do it, because it is something that I think it kind of is. It's great for my goals and my goals and my limitations with how I want to work out, because I do prefer, like, that quick burst of doing the high impact intensity stuff. And this seems to mimic it really well.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe on Black Friday we see some sort of sale. That's because I'm definitely interested in it, but
the price.
Yeah,
the
$80 price tag right now is sort of what's keeping me away. Especially since, like, I liked We Fit You. I got that, like, on a stupid sale back in the day. But at the time, my room was really small, so it was, like, a struggle, you know, to, like, have enough room to do the activities, you know?
Yeah.
So now I have a much bigger, you know, living room area, so it'd be nice to actually be able to stretch out and, you know, have enough room to be able to play it. And it definitely looks cool, and I like the fact that, you know, where We Fit You was, you know, like, they had mini games, you know, but this one, it seems like it's got the overarching story, you know, and you're making progress through that, and then the levels and everything. It definitely seems pretty sweet.
I mean, we didn't talk too much about the RPG mechanics, but they're actually quite interesting here, right? Where you I do think you feel like you're gaining new exercises pretty regularly, and so you you don't need the gamification necessarily, but it's a very good implementation of it combined with what seems to be a good exercise product. So
It's smart in a way, because it ties in if you're someone really experienced with, you know, exercising and everything, it could be frustrating, but it starts you off with a basic set of activities that are, you know, relatively simple and easy to explain. And by playing the game, you need to repeat doing those. So that way you kind of develop a sense memory where, like, you're like, all right, now I'm ready to do these arm thrusts or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get back to it as well.
And then like they'll they will add harder and harder things to that. Like, the planks are probably the early barrier for what seems like most people, because planks are a mofo.
The nice thing is, you can also, when you're doing the battles, you don't have to do planks if you don't want to, right? You can, when you learn those new exercises, you can add them to your repertoire or not, and you can choose to do the same kind of, if you want to just focus on your arms or focus on your legs, like, you can kind of do that with Ring Fit, which is really nice, so... Yeah, the customization, the accessibility, I think these make it a really good product. One thing I wanted to add before we move on is apparently it's selling really well in Japan, like, or it was coming off of shelves. It was harder to find. So I don't know if that's a shipment thing or a sales thing, but I think it's doing okay numbers wise. I don't know about in the West, but I'll be curious to find out.
I remember reading on Reddit someone who is from Japan or had been to Japan said, like, they're really pushing it hard, or at least they were, like, advertisements everywhere. So
That's cool. So hopefully it's doing
it's,
well.
I feel like it's a safe bet to say that it's doing better than Labo.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. But
yeah. I mean, it's not a runaway success, but it's, or else they would have had a press release about it, but it seems like it's doing fine.
Well, from a game that encourages exercise to a game that encourages sitting for hours on
end. No lifing.
Casey has the one Nintendo game on the list tonight.
Yeah, so I've been playing some good old classic World of Warcraft. Back to my MMO roots. And it's just actually crazy because, you know, when I think about, like, the last time I actually played Warcraft was probably, like, I guess 2013, 2014, which you think about it, it's like, holy moly, that's a long time, you know?
That's like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. And then, like, the game was so drastically different at that point than it was now. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously anyone who's played an MMO, like, they're not stagnant, right? They're always sort of evolving. And especially, I believe, Warcraft's through 8 or 7 expansions on top of the original one, you know? So, and one of them just completely, like, renovated the entire game, essentially. The Cataclysm. So, like, you couldn't even go back and play these, like, the game how it was. So that's why people are so stoked about Classic releasing. And, like, people would play private servers, like, on the original one, you know? And, you know, obviously for Blizzard, that's bad because they're not making any money off that. But for people, like, that's what they wanted to play, but because there was no other option. So when Classic came out, people were super stoked. You know, Twitch was, like, blowing up. I think it's cooled down, but, like, a lot of people are still playing Classic. And essentially, I believe there's 5 phases for each content pack. Like, you know, so first phase was like, hey, we released the game. Like, go play it. And then, like, phase 2, which just released... I guess it was like a week or two ago, introduced the honor system, which, I hate it. Essentially, like when you kill people of the other faction, right? So in Warcraft, I don't know if you guys really have too much knowledge on WoW at all.
It has been forever.
Yeah.
I think I played a little bit in 2006.
Okay, yeah. So you would have been playing vanilla WoW, which is what we're playing right now. So essentially you got Horde versus Alliance. And if you roll on a PvP server, you could just kill the opposing faction at any point in time. Like, if you just see someone from the other side, like, you just run up and murder them in cold blood. No problems, you know? And essentially in phase 1, you could do that, but, like, you wouldn't get, there'd be no reward. It would just be satisfaction, I guess, you know, like, I got him. But now you are rewarded honor. And then by killing more people, you get more honor, and you move up the ranks. And there are 14 ranks, and with each rank you get, like, there's new rewards, essentially. So it's just been an absolute bloodbath. I fucking hate it, dude. Like, oh my god. It's because I'm not level capped yet. Like, so the level cap's 60. I'm 59. I'm close. But which is, like, the worst spot to be, essentially, because I believe it's 8 levels below you. If you kill someone, like, you're going to get honor. So obviously, like, if I see someone 8 levels below me, it's going to be easy kill, you know? Like, obviously, you're just going to go destroy them, and I'm going to get honor for it. So it's great, you know? And, like, that's right where I was. I was just in, like, Murder Town.
Casey, is there no way to escape this? Like, can you just say, like, I don't want to do PvP? Like, you are there safe zones or things like that?
You roll on a PvE server, and then you need to enable it. Now, there are, like, more or less safe zones. Like, there are towns, there are, like, certain towns within the game that, like, both factions go in, and, like, it's a neutral town. And if you get attacked in that town, then they have, like, guards that will, like, attack that person. Like, you're not supposed to attack other people in the towns, you know? Otherwise, you have to deal with, like, the guards, and, like, they're usually pretty beefy. And if you kill a guard, then you get a dishonorable kill, which is real bad, because that just, like, completely destroys a lot of your work for honor. And the honor system is ridiculous, dude. So get this. There's 14 ranks, and if you want to get up to rank 14, you literally need to play for 8 to 10 hours a day for 3 months, 2 to 3 months, in order to achieve that. And now, here's the thing. You can't even do it where I'm like, oh, I played 2 months. I've worked my 8 hours a day getting kills like crazy. Oh, I'm going on vacation this week. Well, there's a decay of honor every week. So if you miss a week...
Why?
Yeah, so if you miss a week, you just get bombarded. And that's also why it takes so long to do, right? Because even if you're getting all your kills every single week, there's still that decay that you need to compensate for. Yeah, it's an absolute brutal system that really perpetuates the no-lifing of it, you know?
I mean, it truly is the antithesis of Ring Fit. Like, Ring Fit is like, you know, do whatever you want, you know, wherever your fitness level, we're going to help you.
Fit it into your schedule,
exactly.
Guys.
It's like, oh, Ring Fit's not going to scold you for taking a break or something. You're not going to lose your progress. And here's World of Warcraft. Like, oh, if you even try to go to the gym, all your honor is gone. Don't you dare exercise.
You're dishonorable killing your body. Get on the chair, bro.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
Yeah, and so right now it's like one of those things where it's like, all right, I want to go to this dungeon and go through there and get experience to try and find some items. But, oh, wait, there's a group of, like, 20 people waiting outside of it, and they're just going to kill me. And then I need to run back to where I died, get my body back, try, and then essentially, you just death hop. So you go, you die, then you come back, and, like, there's, like, a radius within your body that you can resurrect. So then, like, you run to the end of that radius, you know, resurrect, run as far as you can before getting killed again, and it's such a pain in the ass, dude. I should have rolled on a PvE server, essentially. But yeah, it's an absolute bloodbath out there. Now, the good news is, I believe it was Phase 3 is when Battlegrounds were coming out, which are, like, organized PvP. So people, like, queue up and go to, like, an instanced, and they're, like, it's, like capture the flag, you know what I mean? And it's more of, like, a game, essentially, than just, like, killing people for no good reason. So they've already pushed that up. Like, that's going to come out in December at some point. So, like, I think that'll help alleviate just getting completely destroyed in the world over and over again. But, yeah, it's crazy, man.
Now you explain all this stuff, Case. Like, I've got a lot of friends who play this game. I'm like, oh, so this is why I haven't seen them. Like, they haven't come to watch football on Sundays or come to game nights because they're so worried about their honor decaying. They can't get up in their chair playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, see, I'm not a PvPer, so it's like I've messed around when it first came out. Like, essentially, there's this, like, a few choke points where, like, people will just go on both sides, and, like, it's sort of like ping pong back and forth between two towns. Like, oh, we got them good. And, oh, they're pushing back. And, like, you can get a lot of honor that way. Mm-hmm. And, like, I did a little bit of that just because I'm like, oh, okay, like, that's fun. But it's like, I like raiding, you know what I mean? Or, like, you know, doing dungeons and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm not really too interested. I will never grind for honor, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to worry about my DK. But yeah. Otherwise, I'm close to hitting level cap, so that's fun. And then I can avoid some of those areas. But, yeah, it's Whew. Phase two stinks.
Pretty cool. MMOs have always felt more exhausting than like something like Ring Fit to begin with, just with the...
Oh yeah, man.
That's
yeah,
the irony. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for when David stops reviewing any games and plays Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah,
I've specifically stayed away from that just for that. Like, I have a bad feeling. Like, all I hear is good things about it.
Well, you can. and then,
I have a bad feeling. It seems great.
There's a raid in Rabanastar, dude. The Royal City of Rabanastar raid.
The one thing that's been successful in keeping me away from that game is the monthly fee.
Let's see. See, no, it's the thing is, though, like, I remember people always were like, yeah, $15 a month. And I remember, like, when I first saw, like, the very first trailer for WoW, I was like, oh, my God, I need this game. And then it was like, and it's $15 a month. And I was like, nope. You know, because at that point, I was in, what, 2004? And I guess it was probably revealed in 2002 or 2003. You know, so it was like 13. I was like, I don't have $15 a month. But like in college when I was really, really like playing WoW super hard, it saved me an unbelievable amount of money, dude. It, like between not buying other games and like my one roommate was an absolute party animal. So like he was going out to the bars like literally like five nights a week. And I know I would have gotten dragged along for quite a few of those. So it was like, I was like, WoW saved me tons of money and kept my body in much better shape than pounding in all that beer.
For a second, I thought you were going to say he's a real party animal. He's playing World of Warcraft like 12 hours a day.
Yeah, you should see how much honor he has, dude.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I'm pretty, yeah, like my younger self would have been much more available to play an MMO. Mm-hmm. But these days,
yeah,
I just don't feel like I can give it the commitment it needs.
Yeah, I'm not sure like how time commitment like Final Fantasy 14 is compared to, because like WoW nowadays, like the new WoW, you know, or present day, you know, you could totally get away with not playing that much time, you know. And I feel like even Classic, like the grind to level 60 definitely takes a lot of time, but like you could get away with just playing a couple hours a week, you know. But yeah, I mean, unless you're trying to, like you said, trying to rank, but like that's just crazy. But yeah, I don't know how like Final Fantasy 14 compares in the sense of how much time sink of it is, you know.
I just figured the less I know, the better.
Yeah,
I don't need to be lost in there.
Well, that's the thing. I watched some videos because I've never even thought about playing Final Fantasy 14, you know. But I was like what does it look like in compared to WoW? And like it definitely looks really nice. Like I was watching some of that like the raid, you know, into Rabanastar, and I was like, it does look beautiful and it's got sweet music, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure it's a blast.
Yeah, well, I heard the story is one of the best in the series too, but I just tell myself it's awful.
Dude, you should totally watch that even if you have zero interest in ever playing the game. That was like, again, not knowing really anything about Final Fantasy 14, that no clip, to just see how the development worked and how hard that team worked to, you know, please both the people they had plus the new audience they were aiming for. Unbelievable, like totally worth the watch.
Well, the next game on our list, I'm really just more going to mention it than anything because it's actually a port from 3DS, and that's Alliance Alive. This came out.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I was gonna say, wasn't there an episode on the Alliance Alive?
Yep.
Earlier in the show?
Yeah, time? Like I think it was the second episode ever. I think was Alliance.
It
Alive.
It was supposed to be a big deep dive on Alliance Alive, and then none of us.
Yeah, really.
No.
that was the OG days, man. When they'd supply the mage with 3DS codes.
Yeah. When no one else was cared about 3DS, and we were like, why? And then like a couple months later, we were like, oh.
Yeah. We played some good ones.
We all
though.
Went in excited. It had the Legend of Legacy credentials. Like we kind of thought it was going to be decent, and then it just didn't click. And when it was announced for Switch, it's one of those things. It's like because I kind of wanted it to succeed, and so I kind of hoped like, oh, maybe they fixed something or done something, sped up or
straight
cut
port.
Out or did do anything to make it better. And I mean, the one big the obvious difference between the Switch and the 3DS is the visuals are much, much better. Like they look terrific. Like the team that did the HD remaster, I think deserves some credit because they did a good job there. But unfortunately, the story is exactly the same, and so it's it really just doesn't, like, the story beats and the progression, like, it's just, it doesn't feel great, and it moving from 3DS to the Switch did not fix that. So if you were like me, who is, like, excited or hopeful at least that maybe the move from 3DS to Switch would help that game at all, I am here to say that it does not.
No.
I know it uses that Kawatsu or that Saga style of leveling up and progress, but again, I don't think it ever felt that satisfying in Alliance Alive. Like, it was better in Legend of Legacy, and it's certainly better in Romancing Saga 3, at least, that we're going to talk about soon.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm surprised, you know. I figured it would probably be pretty faithful to the game we really didn't jive with that much, so.
Which is unfortunate. But Neil has a Game Freak developed game.
Pokemon Sword.
Pocket Card Jockey.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Little Town Hero is directed by the same guy who directed Pocket Card Jockey, which I was starting to kind of put together not just a top 3DS game list, but a top games of the decade. Pocket Card Jockey is scarily high on my list. That game is immaculate.
You love that game.
Has anybody else played Pocket Card Jockey?
Of course.
I sure did.
It's excellent. It's excellent.
Yeah, it rules. I really like Little Town Hero. Little Town Hero is no Pocket Card Jockey. I don't really mean that despairingly. It definitely... Little Town Hero is weird. It was not what I expected, judging by what everybody else had to say about the game. It's what no one expected. So this game is... you're going around a titular little town. You play the hero of the little town. But the whole thing about it is that the combat system isn't like your standard turn-based fare. It's almost like you're playing like a board game or a card game of some sort. I guess maybe it's fitting that we started talking about board games at the start of the show. So with Little Town Hero, you have a bunch of story sequences, which pretty good localization, cute little story. Like, it's nothing super intense, but, like, you know, there's a little mystery as to why these monsters are showing up in the town. It all comes together in a nice way. But the meat of the game is in these battles in which you have, like, you have a deck of cards, and you pull a hand. And each turn, you're fighting against a monster who has their own hand that they pull from. And you need to basically figure out a way to kind of, you know, Rochambeau, rock, paper, scissors their cards, so that way you have one attack left over at the end, in which you turn, I believe it's called a chance turn. And then you do damage to the enemy if you counter all of their cards and still have the capacity to have one attack at the end. You can also do damage to them in other ways, like during the turns themselves. At the end of a turn, then, with the exception of a few battles, you move around a game board. On those spaces, you know, there might be a townsperson that will give you an extra card, or give you some sort of ability where, like, oh, like, you can use this card, or there might be like a cannon there that you can use. You can use a certain card or move that would then trigger the cannon to do damage to the boss, which is one way of doing damage to them. The battles get really complicated and long. There's a lot of moving pieces in them, and at first it's definitely a lot to swallow. For me, it clicked. And I really loved those battles. They get very intense. You're kind of always on the edge of your seat, thinking that you might be near death. I think the longest battle that I had was probably in the realm of like 30-40 minutes. Most of them were a little bit shorter. I think if the game doesn't click with you, those battles are going to be longer. You don't level up necessarily. You just earn like experience or like skill points that then you can use on a skill tree to improve the efficacy of your different cards and abilities. I think that's kind of just about it. It's a weird game. I liked it a lot. It's definitely one that, even if my review of it is very positive, it's a hard game to recommend to just about everybody. if you're a person who's like, hey man, the strategy and Magic the Gathering should be used everywhere, then maybe check out Little Town Hero. If you're like, hey, collectible card games can suck it, don't play Little Town Hero.
I want to make one comment about Little Town Hero. I think I would enjoy it if I played it. I hate that the abilities or attacks or moves that you do are called like is its and was its and das its. And I think that's stupid, and I think it's trying to be like overly cute and making something complicated out of something that making something more complicated when it's already maybe a little bit complicated.
So I think that the in-game tutorial does a good job of kind of laying it, it like kind of eases you into it, but kind of looking at Little Town Hero in reverse, at this point it's been over a month since I played through it and wrote my review. And I did look to see a lot of what other people were saying, and I was definitely maybe more in the minority as somebody really liked it.
You were driving up that Metacritic average, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think people are probably mad at me for the reverse of how they're always mad at me. I think there was a bigger barrier for some people for some of the weird terminology, which is a totally fair point. And I thought Izzets and Dazzets were like kind of dumb and funny, but they're also like there's probably a clearer way to make what those abilities all do more evident, which I think that's how you lose people very easily. I think visually it looks really nice. There's definitely some choppy technical issues, like cutscenes kind of take a little while to load in. The soundtrack is really great. It's a composer who at Game Freak who worked on Pokemon Black and White. You have some Toby Fox in there as well. Definitely some earworms that stuck in my head for a while. It's a game I really enjoyed, but it's a little disappointing to me ultimately just because of how hard it is to recommend to just about everybody.
So would you say we're more likely to see Pocket Card Jockey 2 over Little Town Hero 2?
I mean, I hope. Like, I wish that guy just made another Pocket Card Jockey. I mean, like, I think it's a really cool idea. I think they just stumbled on the execution a little bit to hit a broader audience, because I think there are people like me out there who this game will absolutely click with them. There's also a lot of people that are going to look at this and be like, what the hell is that game? I hope that I know with everything with Pokemon, people want Game Freak to, you know, just focus on Pokemon or whatever, or give up Pokemon, which that's never going to happen, guys. Like Game Freak owns Pokemon. They're not just going to stop making it. Anyway, I hope that Game Freak continues to experiment and have, you know, their teams kind of making these other games, because I think there are a lot of bright, creative people there. Sometimes you get, you know, Pocket Card Jockey and Harmonite, and other times you get Giga Wrecker, which that game was okay.
Yeah, Jordan, if you want to take us home with the final game of the night and the one that's the most recent to release.
Yeah, so... I don't know, David, if you're keeping the recording dates a secret to everybody. Children of Morta released today. That's November 20th. It's fantastic. I was very, very pleasantly surprised by what this game is. It was not what I expected. I was expecting something like something a little bit more Zelda or Hyper Light Drifter. And it's not that at all. It's actually, I guess I never really looked at the description. I just went off like images and trailers that I'd seen. But yeah, it's more of a roguelike kind of action adventure dungeon crawler type game where you, I kind of compared it to Gauntlet, and I'll get into why I think that's an apt comparison in a little bit. It surrounds this family called named the Bergsons. Who they have this big house. It's a large family, about I think there's 7 or 8 members of the family. You get to play as most of them throughout the game as well, but they all kind of play a role in the story. At any rate, their house or their land where they live, it's kind of at the base of Mount Morta, and I guess what's happening around this mountain is that there's this evil corruption, this evil force or power that's kind of spreading over the land and corrupting everything, making everything turn evil and destroying the nature and causing decay and all that. You learn that the story is about these kind of mountain spirits or gods that were kind of sealed away and captured. And I don't really want to say too much about it. It's a very interesting story. But at the heart of it is this family, and you're kind of learning about how they are coming together to fight against or resist this evil force that's all around them. you see inside their house in the individual rooms. It's all 2D pixel art, but it's gorgeous. There's so much detail, and the use of color and lighting is really great. When you finally get started, you start off as John, who's got a sword and a shield. There are experience points that you gain by killing enemies. You gain gold, which you can spend to improve the stats for everybody in the family. You open up new characters in the family who play differently. The second character is an archer. You get one that's kind of like an assassin type with daggers. You get a spellcaster eventually. But as you play, you unlock more of the story and more characters and, I guess, more abilities, more things that you can improve for the families, more things to spend gold on. Every area you go into is about two or three floors. You don't even need to clear out the floor. You just need to find the exit or find the stairs, kind of a gauntlet type thing there. At the end of two or three floors, you'll find a boss. By beating the boss, you kind of clear out that area, and then you come back and you try to do that again for a couple different worlds. But yeah, it's just really captivating. It's very heartfelt. The narration is really good. I can't remember the fellow who was doing the voice acting, but he narrates the whole story, and it's really, really great. Yeah, Children of Morta is one of those games that I think it came to PC earlier this year or a couple years ago. I don't remember, but it has been out for a little while, and now it's finally coming to Switch. Runs pretty well. I did have some issues at the end of the game where the music just totally bugged out during the last boss fight, and it just kind of started repeating itself, and so I missed out on the end game narration and the end game theme, I guess the soundtrack theme. But that's one of my larger complaints. Otherwise, it's challenging but fun. Like, you feel like you're constantly making progress in this game all the time. Even if you have a short run, one of the cool things is that as you level up each character, once you hit a certain threshold, like every four levels or so, you gain a perk that applies to all the family members. So no matter who you're playing as, you get this bonus. So the archer, who I spent most of the game playing as, it's Linda or Laura, I can't remember. When she gets to level 4, she gets a bonus in her skill tree that increases the movement speed of everyone in the family, which is a super helpful thing to have because the dungeons are all filled with monsters. You do spend a lot of time kind of running, backing up, trying to find a good spot to fight them, and then doing that. Even during the boss fight, speed is really important too. I don't know. Neil, did you play a little bit of Children of Morta? I know you downloaded it, right?
I have not. Yeah. Yet. It is on my to-do list, but
Pokemon and Romancing Saga,
and Romancing Saga 3.
Was it delayed for future episodes? Like, wasn't it supposed to?
Yeah, I think they had some technical issues on Switch because it came out on PC early in the year, and then it came out on consoles back in October, and the Switch was delayed to November, kind of at the last minute.
Yeah.
A lot of these ports. It's not that. I mean, I think you said you had some technical issues. And
there's a little bit of slowdown when you get a ton of enemies on screen, but otherwise the sound glitch at the end of the game and a little bit of slowdown when there's a ton of enemies on screen, but otherwise it's good.
It's the thing where like Switch ports, especially for multi-platform releases like Children of Morta was intended to be. It's just that on PS4 and Xbox One, I think the architecture is very similar, and very similar to PC. So that process is usually a lot smoother, whereas Switch, just because of the limitations that you have to deal with more, it can make it a little tougher. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily like the Switch is factually an inferior system, technically, but it just, you run into this where you'll have that last minute delay, or maybe the Switch version comes out and it's a little rough around the edges. Mm-hmm. But I hope that ultimately it was worth it for them to kind of have that month delay, because it seemed like, even by judging the final release, it seems like it might have needed that extra time, and I hope that isn't negatively affected in what their sales and everything are. But the game looks fantastic. I am very much looking forward to diving in. Probably
the art style is really, really attractive. Every time you finish a run, you die, you come back to the house, and it kind of you see the outside of the house and it zooms in and you get a look at all the rooms in the house, and there's just little things, like the characters are doing little animations or talking to each other, and you can kind of look around the house. It's so cool. It's kind of like looking into if you had like a dollhouse or something like that, and you're opening up the doors and you're seeing like what's behind each one, and where the furniture is in each room and stuff like that. Like, it's really, really neat. But the progress keeps you going, even if early on it is quite challenging. If you keep going, you're gonna unlock new things. You're gonna get stronger. You're gonna figure out how you need to be playing the game. There's relics that you collect in the dungeons that give you power ups, and those are randomized. So if you find the right relics, you might go to the boss fight really powered up, and you have a much better chance of beating them. You can collect familiars that can join you on the run. There's a lot of kind of temporariness to it. Like, you might be really powered up and then die and lose everything, and it sucks. But then you might go back into the dungeon and just pick up one or two relics that are really, really helpful for that particular dungeon or for that boss, and then you make a good run of it. And just very, very fun game to play. I don't really see a lot of people talking about it, which is a shame, and maybe that's because of the staggered launch that ended up happening. But one I highly recommend, and I'm generally not a roguelite fan, but I like the way that you're constantly making progress in this game, and it's not all that demoralizing to end a run unsuccessfully, because you do get a lot out of it. So yeah, I highly recommend Children of Morta for those who aren't sure about it, or maybe you're on the fence. Definitely pick it up.
Call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol. Get going.
Excellent. Well, that takes us to the last call, which we had actually had decided on last week. I know we had briefly discussed it at the end of the show, and we'd push it to this week. And so for the last call this week, it's going to be what Final Fantasy character we'd like to see make a surprise appearance in the next Animal Crossing, and why?
I will say my intention was more, who do you want to live in your town, than just guest appearance. Just clarification in what my intention.
That's fair.
So they'll make a surprise appearance, but they'll stay. I guess the yeah. surprise is the prize that you expect.
Yeah, I mean, like, surprise appearance could be like, oh, he happens to be on the island. Like, no, like, this is a Final Fantasy character that is moving next door to you. And you have to do favors.
It's not Link, this isn't Link or Samus in Super Mario RPG, where they're in a bed. You can't even do anything with them. Yeah.
This is the stuff that they added to New Leaf.
Yes.
With Amiibo.
Yes. Yes.
Like where you could get like Wolf Link and what was it? Ganondorf could stay with.
Is that? Are you serious about that? No way.
I talk amongst yourselves, and I will double check.
I'd be tempted to boot that up or find a copy of that and try, because I have those Amiibo.
The welcome Amiibo thing.
Well, why didn't Jordan, you start with your pick?
And, okay, yeah, okay, talk amongst okay. yourself. Yeah, I will go fine. And confirm.
The Final Fantasy character I want to make an appearance in an Animal Crossing game and stay in my town is Umaro from Final Fantasy VI. He doesn't really say very much, I think he really only talks to Mog in Final Fantasy VI. So I'd like him to talk to me in my town. He's a character I always liked using, because you could put the double gauntlets on him. He was super powerful. And I guess he's the only one in Final Fantasy VI that you don't actually control directly. He just does his own thing. He's a Yeti. He's kind of like an animal from a Final Fantasy game that can join your party. So I felt like he might be a good fit for Animal Crossing. You know, I know you get some human characters or everyone's anthropomorphic, but it'd be nice to have like someone who's on brand. So yeah, you could take one of the human characters from Final Fantasy, but Umaro seems. I was between Umaro and Mog, and I guess I'm a little bit more interested in Umaro. I didn't like Mog as much in Final Fantasy VI with the stupid dancing. So Umaro can join my Animal Crossing town. I'd be pretty happy about that. He can also be my personal bodyguard. So that'd be a good thing too.
How about you, Casey? Did you have a chance to?
I was thinking about it, and I said it in jest at first, but I'm gonna roll with Cid from Final Fantasy VII. You know,
you would. He's like, I'm not a big fan of Cid in Final Fantasy VII, but you love the crap out of him.
Yeah, man.
I would have been shocked if you picked anyone else.
You know what? He's done his deed. You know, they did their thing. Now he's gonna kick it back on the new island, and. You know, he could even help out at the museum and stuff. He could head the space, wing of the museum and all that stuff. It'll be great, you know.
The way I see that Cid working out is everyone knows he can build stuff, But he just refuses to.
Well, he's in retirement now. That's so it. He's just big. He's big chilling.
He's in a hammock.
Yeah, and his house looks like a spaceship. It'll be great, or rocket, I should say.
Yep.
Mm.
So it's a Nintendo first party title. So he's not going to be smoking a cigar on the island. So what do we give him? Like a vape pen or something like that.
Joint. Well, I guess he could just have a couple toothpicks. You know?
And Nintendo of America is in the state of Washington. It's going
to
be.
And plus, and you always have to have the curmudgeon character, you know, living in town. And he fits the bill perfectly.
Yeah, I was for my pick. I was thinking more practically because I'm thinking that obviously, like the secret that everyone knows is that Tom Nook is really some demon or some like form of Satan who's brought all these people to the island to do his bidding. In order to have people there forever, he's going to need a way to resurrect people when they try to escape via like the sweets. Release of death. So he's going to need the Phoenix Guardian Force from Final Fantasy VIII to resurrect the dead, so that there is just an infinite and it's just like
there's some crazy shit going down on your island, man.
Yeah, it's my island is the island from Lost, where no one ages. Anyone who tries to die is resurrected, and they're just forced into servitude for Tom Nook for all eternity.
I wish the black smoke monster had taken you away before we started this segment, so you wouldn't give an answer involving Final Fantasy Bloody Eight.
Yeah.
You could have picked any Phoenix.
my first pick, I'm gonna go ahead and admit that I'm not really an Animal Crossing fan. So my first gut reaction was Kefka, because I just want him to kill everyone and burn the whole game down.
At least, like, then you'd probably get KK Slider playing a really good version of Dancing Mad.
Now I need to look up and find if that exists, because that sounds really good, actually.
So before I get to my pick, you can get a bunch of Zelda and Splatoon characters in Animal Crossing New Leaf with the free update.
Oh, man. That was added. God, I might have to try that. That sounds really good.
Here's all the latest news 4 years after it happened. With the Wolf Link, any of the Link amiibo, Wolf Link and Princess Zelda, you can get the Wolf Link Villager. I remember he was in my town because I basically played Animal Crossing New Leaf for like a three weeks or something when this update came out, and it added a bunch of stuff. You could also, there was like a puzzle league that you can unlock.
Okay,
too.
That's cool.
You can also get Epona as a villager. You can get Medley from Wind Waker as a villager. You can get Ganon, and then there's a couple Splatoon characters that, it doesn't seem like they're specific. They're more Splatoon inspired than they are exact Splatoon characters.
That's really neat. You know, my wife and I played Animal Crossing New Leaf when it first came out. So when the update came around, like I think we'd already put in so many hours, like we'd already kind of moved on. And yeah, man, it's a shame because that content sounds really interesting, and I wish I'd, maybe I did know about that, but I just moved on to something else at the time. But I hope there's something like that. I hope we can get some Zelda characters in the next game.
That'd definitely be pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you'd probably carry
you
over
to your island.
So my guest, I'm a big fan of your Final Fantasy VI's and V. Really nothing past 10. I still need to play 12. Anyway, so I was thinking back to the older ones, and I was thinking Locke from Final Fantasy VI. But he's a thief. He's got a heart of gold, but he's still a thief.
Treasure hunter. He's a treasure hunter. He makes that abundantly clear.
He's still a thief. And then, like, maybe other characters from that, like Edgar or Sabin. And I think my final pick would be Sabin. He seems pretty chill. He can suplex Tom Nook and any other villagers that I don't like. And then bonus points because Edgar would probably send him letters and maybe visit. So like that'd be cool. Two for the price of one. You know what? I'm gonna use this opportunity to stand for Final Fantasy VI to come back into my life in some way.
Dude, I just want on the Switch. So I mean, I know it's on the classic, you know, but it'd just be so much easier to play on the Switch. Please.
Okay,
please, so, Nintendo and Square.
So there was a hot minute during the Xbox thing last week, which this is actually relevant to this podcast vaguely, because starting in early next year, like, every Final Fantasy game that is already out on Xbox One will be a part of Game Pass, which is neat. When they first announced that, I had a brief moment of, like, are they going to bring every Final Fantasy over? And they weren't, and I got really sad. But it just made me, like, think how much I long for, like, a Switch collection that's just, like, Final Fantasy 1 through 6.
Okay, so...
I don't know if it'll ever happen. It seems imminently possible. Unfortunately, it would be all the mobile
versions. We get the mobile first, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like,
David's favorite.
Which I will say, once again, I played through the mobile version of Final Fantasy V. Like, my only complaint with it, I mean, interface, of course. But that was mainly because I don't trust buying carts of GBA games, and I didn't want to play the original Super Nintendo one, which also in and of itself, that didn't come out in America, so the only way to play that is through a hacked ROM to begin with. So I was dabbling with trying to get a Game Boy Advance version through maybe illegitimate means to play Final Fantasy V Advance, and that just wasn't fun in any way that I tried to play it, so I just bought the mobile version. And yes, I would rather not play the mobile version, but as far as the best available way to easily play Final Fantasy V, it's pretty good. I would much rather play that on my console, and I would replay Final Fantasy V and VI, like, right now. Both of those games rule. My favorite baby-related music thing, video game music box, which I think is available on, like, Spotify, Google Play, etc. They came out with a Final Fantasy VI album recently, so my son and I have been listening to that. I will say, they also had a Final Fantasy VIII album come out, and it's awesome. Man, Final Fantasy VIII music, supreme. Like, really good.
No arguments here?
Still not my problem. Still on the outside of my top five Final Fantasy games looking in, but that soundtrack is real, real good.
David, if you want to cut all of that mobile stuff, it started at about the 111 mark. Can I just, while it's on the top of my head, thinking about, Casey mentioned, like, Super Nintendo games on Switch. Like, I'm thinking, okay, and Neil's always talking about Final Fantasy VI. For an upcoming last call, I think that'd be a good one. Is, you know, inevitably when more Super Nintendo games are added to Switch through the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah, it's funny. That happened 2.5 months ago, and I know.
So inevitably, that's going to happen, right? We're going to get another drop. It's got to.
Is it?
Yeah, of course it is. They're going to add more games, right? They're not stupid.
You know what was really messed up when they were like, "Here's a Super Nintendo games. Also, we're not doing this monthly anymore. Yeah. Go to hell."
It was very disappointing, but I mean, it was a good group of games. Just not a lot of RPGs there. So
yeah, I got a couple. I played like an hour or two of Demon's Crest around Halloween. That game's really great.
It's a surprisingly good game. It's underrated for sure. But yeah, for a future last call or one of the upcoming episodes, maybe we could ask or talk about what's one RPG, a Super Nintendo RPG that we'd want to come to Nintendo Switch Online so we could play it on Switch like that with you know, the save states and all the other bells and whistles that they added.
Well, it wouldn't be a Thirsty Mage episode if we didn't end on a request for more Square games.
That's right.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, that's I think that's it for this episode of The Thirsty Mage. If you enjoyed it, please make sure, if you have the time, to leave us a review, and it helps with the visibility, and it's always nice to read some criticism and let us know how things are going. You can also reach us by email at david@thethirstymage.com if you'd like to request a game topic or recommend a last call conversation. And then if you gentlemen want to provide your Twitter handles for the fine folks, if anyone would like to follow your daily musings.
Sure. I mean, me personally, I'm Case_Jets on Twitter, but you could find a good old Talk Nintendo podcast at Talk Nintendo Pod. You know, weekly show, we talk about video games. And as you can imagine, I do still talk about RPGs over there, too, because they are my favorite.
Does Perry let you talk about World of Warcraft on that show?
No, I mean, I've talked to, like,
this is Casey's,
this is your chance,
niece.
Right? Yeah,
yeah. When I first played, like, a quote unquote retail, you know, like he humored me a little bit, and then, like, he listened a little bit, but, like, yeah, he's not gonna he doesn't want to hear about the honor system, you know what I mean?
And Neil?
I'm at NRON10 and Ron10. I'm excited. Let's get weird in Kawazu. Kawazu and
yeah,
Jill.
we're only 1 week away.
Yeah. And low-key, just going to call that out because, I mean, it is kind of looking ahead. I'm very, very interested in that Star Ocean remake.
Oh, me too, yes.
Which is another. Yeah. I just, like, I that's a series, like, that and Romancing Saga, although Romancing Saga, Romancing Saga 2 sucks. Yeah. Romancing Saga 3, pretty great.
I can't believe how different they are. They're very, very different.
Yeah.
They have I beautiful cover like, art.
Yeah, until I started diving more into what Saga 3 is, I basically completely wrote it off because I hated Romancing Saga 2 so much. And then everything that I read is that, like, Saga 2 is the bad one, Saga 3 is the good one. And I'm like, oh, okay. And yeah, like, Saga 3 is fantastic. I'm really excited for Scarlet Grace because I've heard that's a good one as well. And then that Star Ocean remake because there's only so much Kawazu a man can take.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to play Scarlet Grace and Star Ocean. I might need to choose between them. But I was reading somewhere today that there may be another Saga game coming west. I don't know which one that is, though, unless these are the two. It's Saga 3 and Scarlet Grace. Did you guys know of another one that might be coming?
I believe, I mean, there's been talk of Kawazu, like, making a new one.
Okay. No, I think...
Kawazu hasn't tortured us enough.
I'm thinking of... whatever I read was that it's a title that is in Japan and hasn't come to the West ever or in a long time. I don't know which one that would be. But.
Okay, Imperial Saga is the mobile one.
Has Unlimited Saga come to the West?
I think Unlimited Saga. I think I might have, like, bought Unlimited Saga. Yeah, I totally bought Unlimited Saga and then I think flipped it for, like, twice.
Well, we got some research ahead of us anyway, so...
Yeah.
And Jordan, you're...
So it's at Riskman64, R-A-S-K-M-A-N 64. Please hit me up with your stories of the Game of Thrones board game and how you've played more than 9 players, because that's something I want to hear about. But I post all my links to all my reviews there, and just kind of musings on games that I've been playing recently. Pokemon, obviously, we're all playing Pokemon right now, and we're going to have some content with that coming up pretty soon. But, just loving Romancing Saga. And that's our next episode. It's all about Kawazu games. So this should be a fun one to hop on for.
Yeah, and anyone listening home, feel free to tweet nerd at...
please do that. But do the GIF, please. Like, don't just write the word. Right? Yeah. I want to see Homer do it.
Exactly. Yeah, and to wrap it up, I'm at Filtered Gamer, and so you can follow the NWR Twitter at Nintendo_NWR, and the Thirsty Mage Twitter is at the Thirsty Mage. So make sure to if you're not already following that, you can follow us daily. So but other than that, I want to thank everyone for listening and thank you gentlemen for coming out. And we're only 1 week away from talking a whole lot of Kawazu. So until then, have a good night.
Bye.
Adios.
See ya.
Night.